former Atlanta Falcons quarterback and analyst for Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, joining us here on the show. How are you feeling, Dave, after the Falcons win now 4-0 in the NFC South?
Yeah, good. Doing good, Tiff. Doing good. Did you get any gambling in when you were out in Vegas?
I did not, but I've been there more times than I can count. Maybe we could do a crowdfund, and you guys could just give me some money the next time I'm sent out there. And
there
I'll just
go.
Give
that
you a cut
great.
Back. Maybe, you know, only take, okay. I don't know, 65%.
Well, no. Definitely don't listen to me.
Some guarantees. Well, you give us some guarantees, you're going to win.
Well, I like losing my own money, not somebody else losing it. All right, so I want to get into a lot of things. I know we want to get into a lot of things, but I talked to you earlier this morning, and it was a play that I thought kind of changed the game in a lot of ways. And to me, it's a turnover is when you can – when a team tries to fake a punt on their own side of the 50 and you can stop that. What happened on that play? Can you break it down on what Kadarrell Hodge did? I know he's normally lined up over the gunner. Walk us through that.
Well, what they did is they reduced that side, meaning they brought the gunner in, if I'm not mistaken, brought the gunner in from that left side, their left side, our right defensively, which immediately, you know, if you don't have a lot of people in the punt block, if you've got 10 people on the line and they reduce and they bring the gunners in, then they're trying to protect to get against a punt being blocked. But if they bring a guy in, that's all of a sudden your ears perk up a little bit. And then Kadarrell, and I talked to him after the game, he just felt like something was kind of fishy going on. So that's just kind of a gut feel. Obviously, you study some tape and stuff, and Marquise does a great job of getting those guys in and studying some of the looks that Tampa presents or Dallas this next weekend would present in a punt situation where there might be a fake going on. But I just give him credit for instincts. I give Marquise Williams a ton of credit for having those guys prepared. And then when he saw the look, he didn't wait. He crashed, just came straight in and made the play and just disrupted the blocking. Remember, those guys that are in a punt block situation, they're covering the kick. They're not, you know, they're blocking to a certain extent. And Mike can tell you it's almost like a pass block. You're losing ground, then they kick it. It's not like they're used to coming off the ball and drive blocking anybody to create running lanes for something. Now, they practice it a little bit, but it's not like something they spend a lot of time on. So Kadarrell blew up the blocking on the play, just decided to give his body up a knife in there and make the play. So a lot of instinct, a lot of prep, certainly, and then maybe some signs that they were going to potentially do something because of what they did with the formation.
Yeah. Also, you know, look, man, either way they blocked it, an incredible play by Kadarrell Hodge, knifing through there. You're right. Good tackle. You know, and he had his spidey senses kind of tingling a little bit, Arch. I love that. But one of the things I want to dive into, Arch, we talked about it throughout the week, that this would be a game that you felt like the Bucs would try to come and run it down your throat. They got five healthy linemen, three running backs that are good players, and throughout the first quarter, they did that. It didn't seem like we could stop them at all. I don't know if it was an adjustment. I know that we kind of went to a kind of a bare front at times, Eddie Goldman at the nose and a couple B-gap defenders there in the second quarter, but I'm not sure, and I want to get your opinion, why Tampa steered away from the run. It seemed like they were doing whatever they wanted to on the ground, and suddenly they stopped giving it a go.
I think there's a pretty good case that they're probably doing the same thing in the meeting rooms this morning, Mike, as to wondering what, you know, with all the success they were having run the football. I think 64 yards rushing in the first quarter, I think they ended up with 74 in the first half and just 18 yards in the second half running the ball. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like the game got out of shape. You know, it wasn't like you got way behind. Now, you did get down at 1 point, 14 points, and maybe that shifts gears a little bit in the fourth quarter. But that idea of coming out in the second half and reestablishing yourself in the ground game, I think Atlanta did a few things. They might have tried to run dog a little bit to try to take some things away. But I didn't. When I asked Raheem after the game about that, did you do something different? There was kind of a vague answer. He really just guys competing and stuff like that. So to be honest with you, I'm going to have to wait till we do his coaching show this afternoon, and I'll ask him again after he's now had a chance to look at the tape. Did something happen there to where you either took the run away or they got away from the run? We'll find out this afternoon. We talked to Raheem Morris on his coaching show. It comes on, what, at 6 o'clock tonight during Dukes and Bell. So, but I don't have a great answer for you. I would be in one if I'd been the quarterback, if I'd been Baker Mayfield. I'd have walked over and said, hey, what are we doing? Why are we not running the football? Because they weren't able to stop it. So maybe a few adjustments, but maybe just Tampa, you know, maybe sticking the chest out and say, hey, we want to throw the ball.
Dave, when it comes to Jesse Bates, and I mean, I talk a lot about him just in the sense of, I mean, acquiring him in free agency, and he just, it just keeps working out for him, right? Like, he brings so much to this defense, has a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and an interception. How did he help to kind of set the tone and at least, you know, give the Falcons a chance to win this game?
Yeah, it all starts with him, Tiff, is the way he practices, the way he works. He's not a guy that's playing around or anything like that when they're out there practicing. I'm sure he has his fun, but very serious guy when it comes to getting prepared to play. He's a guy that talks with, you know, the offensive side. He sits down with Kirk and goes over tape. He sits down with some of the younger players on the defense and goes over tape and stuff like that. So it begins with his preparation. And then he's just got a knack for getting to the ball. He's got a great instinct to get to the football. Now, the interception is a spectacular play. He credits Mike Hughes for playing kind of half, playing that half area and then sliding over to help him because he was an invert safety. He had the low safety spot, and they had a corner rotate back. And that actually turned out to be – Jimmy Lake called that twice defensively down near the red zone. Now, his interception was just outside the red zone, but AJ's interception was a red zone interception as well. And if you look, the corner rolls from that corner spot or deep third spot and rolls kind of into a half safety spot, and they invert the safety, and the safety kind of takes the corner spot as the flat defender. And AJ read it and came in front and made that diving interception. Well, that's what they had on in this play as well, and a great job by Jesse to lose ground with Hughes kind of playing over the top to kind of disrupt the look a little bit, and then he makes an unbelievable play, makes a circus catch on the interception. So, but his ability to punch the ball out, I compared him to Peanut Tillman. I mean, a guy that I remember back, and Mike, you probably remember back mm-hmm. with the Chicago Bears. I mean, the knack for him to be able to get the ball out is incredible. He punches the ball out. He's always doing it. He says he's talking to his teammates all the time. He says, this is what we got to do. You got to punch at the football. You're seeing more and more guys trying to do that when they're coming in on tackles. Obviously, you want to wrap up and put guys on the ground, but if you can get the ball out, obviously that's a difference-making type deal. And for Jesse to make that play, what, second play of the game, he punches the ball out? I mean, big, big-time play to kind of change and give a different feel to the game right off the start. So he's just a ball hawk and a leader and a guy that prepares as hard as he possibly can.
Yeah, he's got the landmine doing it. When he's not bending his own face mask, he punched the ball out on that fourth down scramble.
That was almost huge.
Sneak by Mayfield. Also, Archie, the punt just came back up. They had moved Kadarrell inside, and he did a good job of finding and the vision of the runner. Speaking of just guys that are kind of locked in, though, Kirk Cousins, holy smokes, 65 of 87, 785 yards, 8 touchdowns, and 70, right at 75% completion percentage against Tampa Bay. And I didn't even mention his legs, Arch. How is a guy who isn't known as a mobile quarterback able to just shred a defense that loves to pressure and to disguise their blitzes so well as Todd Bowles is known for?
Well, he's got a great feel for what they're doing, obviously, and he spends a lot of time preparing, just like Jesse does. But this is a team that he got into a zone in two different occasions, right? I asked him about it, just being in a zone and what that's like, and he says, hey, you're seeing things pre-snap. That's something that you think that maybe Todd Bowles' defense is presenting. They're muddy in the water. A lot of guys up in the line of scrimmage. This guy's going to drop. He's got a good read for it. He's got a read whether they're coming. Now, they got to him a couple of times. You remember correctly, they came with a couple of pressures off one edge. In fact, I think they came over Caleb McGarry. They lined up three guys either on his head or outside, and two guys dropped and one guy came, and we didn't block the guy that came and was in the face of Cousins. He had to throw the ball away, but Just an excellent feel for what he's seeing. I think he gets more and more comfortable each and every week that he goes into things. I thought it was a nice rebound after last week. I didn't think the team played very well last week. He said that, but he's got a rapport with these wide receivers. The ball's coming out on time. I love some of the early throws he's making. He made a throw to Darnell Mooney on the sideline. I'm telling you, you go back and look at it. He hits Mooney on the sideline right before the end of the first half. On a play that's the corner, the safety's playing a half safety, but he's rolling that direction, and the corner's losing ground with Mooney up the field. and he drops a little bench route into Mooney that is as sweet a throw as you'll ever see. I don't care who's throwing it. It was a phenomenal throw. He was just in that zone, and that's fun. I wasn't in that zone very often, but when you get into it, man, that's a fun place to be.
Finishing up with Dave Archer. Dave, I don't want to overreact because the drive didn't land any points because of the missed field goal, but I would argue that the drive they started with 6 minutes and some change left in the game and taking all the way down to the one-minute mark that ended in the missed field goal was one of the most important drives of the season so far, I think, for the Atlanta Falcons. Not only did you get the rare Charlie Warner catch, you got the Kirk Cousins scramble and the Kirk Cousins QB sneak right there in the middle of that drive. I thought it was excellent. I want to know what you saw in that drive that kind of allowed them to put away a number of minutes off the clock.
Yeah, Mike, to be specific, I'm looking at my notes right here. We took over with 6:52 left, so almost 7 minutes left in the game, and you went on this drive. Remember, you overcame the face mask penalty on Neusel, which made it, what, first and 22, huge. First and 23? And so you overcame a major penalty in that drive as well. Of course, you talked about the Cousins run for 13 yards, and then on fourth down, they do the little tush-push and shoving for a first down. Killed all their timeouts, I think, in the drive as well, and they got the ball back with under a minute. It was a defining drive in the game. Now it would have been finished if we'd seen Youngway knock it through, right, and then you'd made it an 8-point lead. But ultimately, those are the kind of drives that are hard to go on. You know as well as I do, Mike, when people know that you're trying to kill the clock and they're ganging up against the run and you're still able to crease them or make some plays or be willing to throw the football. Remember, after they got first and 22 after the face mask, Zach Robinson stayed aggressive. He threw the football out to the outside to Drake London. London got about 8 or 9 of the 22 back on that first play. And so I thought that the aggressive play call to kind of keep them in the game, not start looking at the clock too early, and then once they got inside 4 minutes, then really Kirk really started to bleed the clock pretty hard. And, then of course, his run was a pivotal play. But I agree with you. I think that was a defining moment in the game. Showed a lot of backbone from that offense. You knew the defense had been on the field a great deal, and they did a great job of sealing the game there, no question.
Falcons in the driver's seat in the NFC South at 4-0. Dave, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate y'all.